Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
I've made the vow to not be negative about the basketball program.
Until there was a reason to be negative in the new year, and it took all the way to exhibition season. Or really to August, when Trenton Flowers decided to depart the program before bouncing a ball, collecting lots of checks, and not paying his rent. You know.
Yikes.
Oh, family are ballers. They're ballers, yeah. But they don't pay their rent. So good luck to you. I wouldn't call their people that they stayed at for references. You know.
Yikes. Oof. They didn't pay the rent. Ugh.
No.
Yikes.
No, they're all here 6 weeks. So there's lots of stuff to go through. I want to get into some football, but there's lots of text. And, like, when we're having fun on the text line, I feel like you kind of keep rolling.
Absolutely.
On the text line. And the presidential debate happened last night. We got a lot of crossover with that.
Yes.
We've got a lot of crossover with the barbershop conversation. text line talking about Donald Trump lying about taking a crap. He didn't just take a crap. He took the greatest crap ever. Ever. Yeah. Let's see. I love the show. Text line says, I love the show. This is the most fun I've had in the morning. Text line says, what did he lie about? Tell us one lie. You have just been indoctrinated by the media for years.
Real political, real quick.
Let's all do the Biden blank stare.
Yeah, do the Biden stare.
You realize you're talking about, I don't know which one you're talking about, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. They're both politicians.
Yeah, he's
they're
definitely
both
talking about
professional
Trump.
Liars.
Because that's literally the job. It's like literally in the contract of the
what
job.
What are you talking about, bro? Didn't you watch that?
Trump has actually come clean about some of the lies he's told.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure if that's about Biden or Trump, but they both are liars.
I think it's about Trump because you said Trump wakes up lying.
And Biden's not talking anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, he's just giving stares.
Biden's brain's not working enough to lie.
Yeah, it's not getting all the RPMs.
He's a JCP
to. But if his brain would work enough, he would totally lie. Too. Trump lies. I don't know what to tell you. We're not going to break down the debate. Blankenbaker, when is your anniversary? June 2nd. Absolutely.
Is it? Yeah, guys. Yeah. In the summary. I thought he had catch him slipping.
You got a problem with June 2nd? What's the problem?
They thought
June
you was going to say like October 2nd. Or
right.
Yeah.
No.
They tried to catch you slipping, Blank. Yeah, no. They got you messed up.
Man, that's funny, man. So, we've been rolling along here. EA Sports put out a number of things. So, oh God, I put out a number of things in the last couple of days. The toughest place to play, I thought was interesting.
You're very.
Talk a little bit about that. But then offense and defense. Louisville's not in
top 25.
The top 25 of offense, but they were in the top 25 of their defensive ratings. And they also said they're not only going to do positive hand signals. First of all, put horns down, put L's down in the game. Like, to me, they're super important parts of the game, the rivalry of college football. I want to see the Ole Miss Rebels hike their leg and pee on the ball. Right? Like, I want to see that. Like, I want to see L's down. I want to see horns down. I want to see, you know, Texas fans lose it over horns down and Louisville fans not care at all when Kentucky's beating Akron in week two and doing L's down.
Or taking official visits.
Right.
Commitment pictures with L's down. That's like, dang, we on you guys' brain a lot. Like, you're in the middle, like, your commitment photo has L's down
in it. I'm glad you're thinking about it.
Oh man,
like, I love it.
I ain't mad at it at all.
I truly do love that because I know now that you're thinking about me.
Oh, absolutely. Now, here's my theory on that. It's not that it's like, oh, the positivity thing. I think it's something they have to keep something for next year, and so you want to keep adding to it, and you don't want to get stale. So, like, you tell them this year, no, you're not going to have it. Everybody loves the game, whatever, but say, oh, you got to add this. So next year, when we add it, it's like, oh man, they added L's down and they added horns down. Like, it feels like it's something big when it's really not.
Yeah.
Like, but it's like you keep adding little things each and every day. That's my theory on it.
So, you know, I think that's pretty cool. By the way, real quick, if you want to save 15% on TBT tickets, use code TBTLOU15.
Okay.
A little bit better. Yeah. We worked on that. The TBT gets going July 20th at Freedom Hall. That's TBTLOU15. Reese Gaines is going to coach us. We got all these guys that Patino doesn't care about anymore planning that, which is great. I don't know what you want me to say. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, you know,
it is a bunch of guys that played under Patino, though.
Yeah.
And they're awesome. But they're going to be awesome.
And I love that era. And I wish Patino felt the same way. So, anyway. So, Louisville's defense rating got a 22.
Yes.
They finished 21 on the year. I actually think that they probably should have gone higher.
Absolutely.
Because I feel like they've upgraded on defense and they have a lot more of those guys back.
Yes.
Quincy Riley, Ashton Gelati. At linebacker, I feel like, you know, you lost Alderman, which sucks because I think Alderman is a guy who really knew what he's doing.
It's a good player.
Saquon Clark.
Yeah, he's a stud.
So,
he's a stud.
You know, they put us at 22. I feel like we should have been better, but I don't know your thoughts on that.
No, same. I honestly, the thing is, they should have been higher, but I was actually pleasantly surprised that they had him at 22. And the reason why is because if you look at these ratings, what is it based on? It's really not based on last year's stuff. It's really based around a lot of hype. And Louisville defense, just in general, doesn't get a lot of hype. Not right now. Ashton Gelati is, like, he's getting, and I think that's why they had to put him at 22, because Ashton is being recognized preseason on a lot of different things. Preseason All-American, he'll probably be preseason ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Like, he's getting a lot of love preseason. Yeah. So that's why they put him there. But if you look on that same list, like, they've got, like, Colorado on a lot of these lists, and that is strictly based on hype.
Colorado's offense is on that list, and that didn't make any damn sense to me. Like, I know they have Shedeur Sanders, right? Like, I understand that they have,
and,
like,
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, and but, like, Colorado was 82nd last year.
I agree.
And they couldn't block to save anybody. And what did they win? Five games?
Four.
Four.
Yeah, but it's based, once again, it's based on hype, and it's hard because both Shedeur and Travis are going to be like 95 plus. Like, they're good. I think Shedeur, I think they came out, I think he's the highest rated quarterback on the game, and then Travis is a cover athlete, so it means he's pretty high on the game.
Yeah,
and so when you have two guys ranked that high, it's hard to put them as like the 40th best offense.
He's higher than Quinn Ewers,
I think, or maybe tied. Like, they're like neck and neck, but because Shedeur has a bigger brand, and he's a, you know, he's very well known, and he is good. I'm not gonna act like he's not good.
Right.
I think he is the highest rated, if not the second highest, but him and Quinn Ewers, they may be even tied.
Okay.
But I know Ewers, I don't think he's above. I mean,
maybe Shedeur is a way better quarterback if he has an offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's Ewers because he was a cover athlete.
Oh, okay.
He's one of the three. It's him, Edwards, and Travis Hunter.
Okay, so he's a cover athlete.
But they're still like, if yours is a 96, Shedeur's a 95.
Right.
Like, they're right there.
But I do feel like if Lincoln Riley was replacing what Louisville was replacing you know, at USC. Like, and that's, you know, your tackles, your running backs, mm-hmm. you know, Thrash is gone. If yeah, that same thing happened at USC, he'd still be in the top 25 of the rankings.
Yes.
Because he's Lincoln Riley. And I'm like, hang on. Why is Jeff Brohm not getting that same love?
That's how I feel. I feel part of it is because...
We won 10 games with Jack Plummer.
Yeah. Yeah.
At quarterback.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is based on quarterback rankings. And because Tyler Shuck hasn't finished the season the last 3 years, and that's not to say that he isn't talented, but he's a seventh-year quarterback yeah. who hasn't finished the season the last 3 years. And a lot of, if you look at those top-ranked offenses, just on the offensive side, it's a lot of it's just based on quarterback, strictly.
Yeah.
Because, like, Miami's in the top 10.
Yeah.
And there's no reason Miami should be. I can't name you. Outside of Cam Ward.
Cam Ward.
I can't name you anybody else on Miami's offense.
Is that little slot receiver they have back?
I think he came back Gillespo or good, something with a G.
Yeah, that guy was good.
Yeah, he's good.
I like that guy.
But I can't even think of his name. You get what I'm saying?
Restrepo.
Like, yeah.
Restrepo.
Yeah, so those are the things that a lot of it's based on quarterback play, and because Shuck is still the question mark is why they don't have. But I feel like Jeff Brohm, based on his history, should get the benefit of the doubt because his offenses typically do overachieve.
We were 42nd on offense in terms of yards per game mm-hmm. last year without a tight end, really. You know, like,
Without a number two wide receiver.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you had Thrash. Bell was okay at times. We were 40th in yards per play. And I think that if Jeff Brohm, I don't know that he got the respect in the game that, and I understand, too, that you're replacing both tackles, the quarterback. You didn't really have a tight end yesterday. You only had Thrash. Mm-hmm. You're losing, you're losing a lot. You're replacing them with transfers, but I like our transfers a lot. And so I feel like Louisville's underrated in the game.
Definitely.
So, dude, we really take a big issue with that, but, you know. I like our team. Really like our team. And toughest places to play, like Zach yesterday brought it up, the point that, like, yes, last year, Texas A&M, who's number one.
Cal Field.
They lost to App State.
At all. At all.
They lost to Appalachian. They're number one toughest place to play. Excuse me? No, you can't lose to App State a year prior to being the number one tough place to play.
Man,
it's
all about content, man. It's all about engagement and content and putting Cal Field. Because if they had to put Death Valley at LSU, nobody's arguing. Maybe nobody's really arguing about 2 and 3 or whatever.
True.
But, like, if I put Cal Field and I can justify it because Texas A&M has, like, a gazillion people that went there, and they'll fight for Cal Field,
right.
But everybody else will say, what the hell are you doing? Like, that's what I want. I need people to talk about my game. It's been on a, 10, 11-year hiatus, and I need all the engagement that I can get from the stadium rankings to the offensive rankings to the defensive rankings to the player rankings to knowing that you can acquire a guy like Ashton Gelati on your dynasty team or your team builder thing. Like, I need it all. I need it all, and that's what they're doing.
I do kind of like taking a Wyoming.
Oh yeah,
and like trying to just build them up, you know, build them up recruiting, you know, and you kind of have to play. You can't really super sim when you do that. You got to like play the game.
And you have to play those,
and you got
to
win like 9-10 games. Up your recruiting, you know, do it again. You know, like you gotta play the game, and I'm excited about it. Like, I'm excited to see the game, see people doing all that stuff. So. I won't buy a console because I don't have, like, an Xbox or a PlayStation at this point in my life. But I'm glad it's coming back.
Yeah.
I do feel like the generation that's played Madden, like the younger kids, like we've been like 10 years since we've had the game.
Yeah, 10, 11 years.
10, 11
like
years.
That, yeah.
It's too long. It's a big gap of kids. Somehow college football has grown. But I do think that had you had the game, the interest would be bigger than it is currently. So, you know, that's just one of those things. So. I'm excited for it, but we get no respect. We get no respect. It's, but we didn't get any respect last year when we were in the ACC championship game. It all works out on its own. And there's a playoff this year.
Yeah.
We get in there.
I need one of those 12 spots, man. I need it. I need it.
I don't know. Did you see the BetOnline AG odds for you know, winning the ACC? Let me see if I can find this. ACC title odds. It's a BetOnline AG. Florida State's the favorite, 14-5. Clemson at 13-4. These are European odds. Miami's 4-1. And Louisville is fourth, tied at fourth with NC State at 7-1 to win the ACC title. Now, It's one thing to get into the title game. It's another thing to win the league because you got to beat, you know, you got to beat Clemson or Florida State when you get there, probably. But like I don't know, man. Like Clemson, I think is going to be good. Klubnik, they've bought their time with, and last year they started really playing good football towards the end of last year. Early in the year, they weren't playing very good football, but they were playing good football late. I'm kind of curious.
I just don't
think
Klubnik's that good, though. I just don't.
I don't think DJ Uiagalelei is that good.
I don't either. I mean, I think he's they're serviceable. Like they're not bad. But they're, you know, like, they're not.
NC State got the Grayson McCall kid.
Yes, from
Coastal Carolina.
Coastal, yep.
That's really kind of interesting to see the quarterbacks in the league. DJ Uiagalelei, Cabe Klubnik, Cam Ward, Tyler Shuck, I think is an anonymous guy. Even though I think a lot of people around here are excited about him, but I think nationally.
There's no love. There's not going to be any love for him.
There's no awareness of what Louisville has at quarterback, and that's fine with me. But Grayson McCall at NC State has a profile. SMU's guy's name's escaping me. I cannot think of it.
It's not Tanner anymore, is it? The Tanner kid, or did he graduate?
SMU quarterback.
Tanner Mordecai? It's not him anymore?
Preston Stone.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know
Preston
that.
Stone is that. And he only threw like eight picks, like 3,400 yards.
Okay.
And, you know, I think he's a really nice player, and he's got a good offensive line coming back. Kyron Drones from Virginia Tech. I don't know who Carolina has. No. Syracuse has Ohio State's quarterback from last year, Kyle McCord. There are a lot of name quarterbacks in this league. Haynes King at Georgia Tech.
He can play.
Georgia Tech. I don't know who's at Duke, Pittsburgh. Boston College has the one guy that was like all they had last year. It was amazing. Castellanos, love that guy.
Yeah, he can play.
So, you know, it's a really good quarterback league, really, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. There's a couple teams that really kind of are looking for their
obviously
guy.
Obviously, Miami's got Cam Ward, you know.
How do we feel about that?
Cam Ward's outstanding. I just don't believe in Cristobal. Like, I'm not a Cristobal guy.
Mario, kneel the ball?
Yeah, like, I don't, well, don't kneel the ball. Like, refuse to kneel the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Cam Ward's a really, really good college player. I just don't know. And I know, obviously, Miami recruits really, really well every single year. I just have no faith. Like, if they're projected to win 10, 11 games, they're going to win closer to 8 or 9 games. Like, it's just, like, that's just what Cristobal's teams do, like, historically. And so, I don't think anything, until it changes, I don't believe it'll change.
Yeah.
So,
that's
yeah,
true.
We'll see.
That's true. And a lot of people want to text about the debate. Like, that's, listen to NS at 3 o'clock. Like, I don't know. Like, I take the position that they're all liars. I'm not going to go out on a limb for either person.
Why should you?
I'm not going
There's
to.
There's no reason to.
No. If you like either one of these candidates, you're a fool. Period. Like pretty much. Like so if you want to do that, you can do that. 3 o'clock, Ennis will point it all out. He'll be prepared.
I don't even know if he
CNNS.
Will. I don't know if he even...
He's going to have full coverage of the debate. 3 o'clock.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll be on there with him, so
KC
we'll see.
The last 2 years, he's got plenty of practice. Talk about ineptitude.
That's true. He could do that into the moon. Why would you want L's down in the game when Louisville fans have no way to reciprocate? The L's down is enough for me. It tells me that you're thinking about me.
It's part of college football culture. Like, I mean, we don't reciprocate now. We don't reciprocate in real life, so there's nothing to reciprocate in the game. So, yeah.
Texts are sending me GameStop stock information.
Oh, wow. That's
Thank
funny.
You for that.
That
I appreciate
is
that. Clemson did struggle with UK in the bowl game, but they came back and won.
They did win.
Wasn't that amazing? Like Kentucky had no business losing that game. Like, at all.
It shouldn't have.
Like, at all. You can't really react to bowl games, though.
I'm actually...
Like you can't.
You can't, but I'm also glad they didn't beat Clemson.
Like,
we wouldn't have heard the end of it. If they would have beat Clemson, we wouldn't have heard... If they would have beat us in Clemson in the same year, we wouldn't have heard the end of it.
I think the last time Louisville was in a bowl game that I felt like I could, like... project that into next year was 2015.
It's been a while.
Lamar against Myles Garrett, Texas A&M. Because that was like the last year that opt-outs didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like nobody was opting out, unless it was like a major injury, you know, or something like that. But like nobody was opting out at that point in time. And that Texas A&M team was loaded.
Yeah, Myles Garrett,
And a future number one pick with a future NFL MVP. And you could see, you know, you could kind of see that happen. And then in 2016, I couldn't react to the Citrus Bowl. We were like a shell of ourselves. Like, it was, like, ridiculous. In 17, Hearns and Jair Alexander opted out. In 2018, we were in a bowl. 19, it was fun to win that bowl game, but what did it mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It didn't translate to the next year.
No.
So, bowl game, stuff like that is... Yeah.
I will say it will be interesting with the 12-team playoff. Like, I think the opt-outs outside of the 12-team playoffs will be even more prevalent. But the fact that there are 12 teams in the playoffs, you will see less opt-outs because more people will have a shot and you'll see the best players play for their teams, those 12 teams anyway, as opposed to just the four teams and everybody else. Best players opt out. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. So on the other side, we want to talk about Justin Edwards, Rich Paul, John Calipari. We want to talk about that and the fallout of that in after the draft. Kind of interesting to see that entire thing play out, especially with Rich Paul's comments before the draft, to see this kind of happen again. How does that affect Calipari
moving forward,
getting clutch affiliated players and things like that? Tonight we are going to have Reds at Cardinals. Saturday, Reds at Cardinals 1:45, Orioles Rangers 7:15, and we will have Lou City at Birmingham, and that's going to be at Birmingham at 7:15, and that'll be on 680. We'll round out our weekend coverage with the Reds at Cardinals at 1:15, and we'll have Orioles Rangers at 6 o'clock. And you know, don't forget Saturday morning down the stretch, and then Victory Formation, so you have both those things at 9 and 10, and the Sunday morning hangover with Phil Baker and Nick Curran at 10 to 12 on 680, and also you will have Inside Churchill Downs tonight. So you have a lot of different things going on. Barino's Pizza coming in today, and we're going to continue to roll along here on ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Broadcasting live from the Liquor Barn Studios, you're listening to The Diener Show on ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Blankenbaker and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back to ESPN 680, 105.7, and 93.9 The Ville. Drew Diener is in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to some slap fight thing.
Power
tonight.
Slap.
Power slap. Yeah. There it is.
You ever seen those videos on YouTube?
They look insane.
It is insane.
They look insane.
I wouldn't mind going to that, though. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I don't know. I've seen, like, Tom Brady showed up at one or something like that.
Well, he's besties with Dana White, so that makes sense.
Oh, is it a Dana White event?
Yeah, no, so it's under UFC.
I didn't know that.
No, Power Slap's owned by UFC. Yeah, so it's a Dana White thing. So, yeah.
They're all wearing, like, their mouthpieces.
Yeah, and they're growling and the powder, and they'd be growling at each other and just smacking somebody as hard as you can.
It's not an event for me.
That is definitely an event. I'd be in there. Power Slap is crazy. Like, I could definitely. He's going to have a good time there. Because I know I would have a good time.
So, as soon as we start talking about Power Slap on the radio, you know what's going to happen here, right?
What's that?
Nick Valvano is going to be like, let's do Power Slap Championship here.
Oh, hell no.
And I'm like, Nick, that's the worst idea in the world.
What?
Like, the worst idea. Next thing you know, he's got Zachy C, Nick Valvano slapping each other across the face here at ESPN Louisville. We got to call HR.
Well, and I don't want to get slapped, but I could do some slapping.
James has been wanting to slap for some weeks now.
Yeah, nah, I wouldn't participate in a power slap, but would I watch one? I'll go to a live event? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
But he's got Brazil soccer, I think, is tonight.
Okay.
Power slap 8. UFC tomorrow. We don't know who this guy is anymore, but he's having fun.
Hey,
so.
His son wants to be in that business, and he's helping him out. I ain't mad at it, Drew.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at it. Do it. Yeah. Some more nepotism. Whatever you can get going. Yeah. Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen, man.
So yesterday, with the draft completed, Justin Edwards became the first top three recruit to go undrafted. as far back as databases go.
Wow.
So in the database era for college basketball players, where like we started ranking players mm-hmm. and keeping a history mm-hmm. of those rankings, because like Clark Francis and Hoop Scoop would do this.
Yeah.
They would do like the Parade All-Americans mm-hmm. and they would rank, they would not really, I don't think they ranked them, but they named their All-American
same
teams.
With McDonald's and same with, you know, Kentucky Derby Festival, right. Like they'd have the All-Star games and so but yeah, as far as like taking a 1 through 100
and
or
naming
150
them, they're the third mm-hmm. best yes. player in the country mm-hmm. in the ranking eras. Kentucky's Justin Edwards became the first top three recruit to go undrafted since the database ranking era.
So it's like roughly 25 years. Let's just
that's
give
unbelievable.
It. Yeah.
And did he sign?
He signed with the two-way contract with the Sixers.
All right. So now, so give people, is he a Rich Paul client?
So like, yeah. So okay. Justin Edwards, before the season started at Kentucky, signed an NIL deal. Well, you know, obviously with NIL, you can sign agents and stuff. And so he signed with Clutch, and then he did the Clutch New Balance deal.
Ah.
Like, so when Clutch announced that they were going to have apparel with New Balance, Justin Edwards was the first collegiate player with the Clutch New Balance
right.
NIL endorsement deal. So he's a Clutch guy, and he's one of several Kentucky Clutch guys. Like, I know Tyrese Maxey, Chris Livingston, obviously guys that are with Clutch now that went to Kentucky, like Anthony Davis and so on and so forth. So he was just the latest of the Clutch group to sign
right.
That played at Kentucky to sign with Clutch.
And so this is really awkward because before the draft, Rich Paul was calling out John Calipari for Chris Livingston.
Yes.
And being like, look, he was 13th or 12th coming yeah. out of the coming to your school. Mm-hmm. That was his projection. When he left, did he get undrafted? Like, he was undrafted, or did he get late second
round? I think he
round?
Was undrafted.
So you got guys like Livingston and Justin Edwards going undrafted, but Bronny James can go 55th. Okay. So, but you see what I'm saying? And like, so Rich Paul is a guy that kind of controls not only where pro guys play, but where college guys are going these
Absolutely.
Days. And he's been sent two top 15 guys
mm-hmm.
from Rich Paul to John Calipari that have fallen and been undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Does that affect John Calipari, do you think?
So it'll be interesting if
Rich
does.
Has already called him out.
Well, because the reason why it's interesting is because he's now at Arkansas and not Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
So the same lure. I mean, you can say whatever you want. It's still different playing at Arkansas versus playing at UK.
Yeah.
We know that. Like, we're not going to act like
it's
that.
It's not Carolina, Kansas, too.
No, yeah, it's not the yeah. same. It's not, and that's not to say Arkansas is a bad place to play. It's just not Kentucky. Because, like, I mean, and if you needed any more example than that, when the six guys that were signed to Cal at Kentucky, he only got three of them. So, like, that tells you that it's looked at differently. And the NIL money wasn't different. We know Mr. Dino Nuggets, the Tyson guy, was going to pay the guys whatever they wanted.
Mr. Dino Nuggets.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Dino Nuggets. That's the phrase I've coined. But, like, that is... Like, so it wasn't like the money was going to be different or worse or whatever, but it's just the fact that, you know, there's guys that still want to play for Cal, and there's guys that wanted to play for Cal at Kentucky. You know, there's a difference. And so it will be interesting to see if it affects him moving forward because of what's happened. Now, the more interesting conversation I think that Rich brought up in it's further proven here is that Cal loves bragging about all the guys he gets drafted and changing generational poverty and all these top 10 picks and all these NBA contracts. But he never really takes responsibility of guys like Justin Edwards and Chris Livingston and Scala BCA or whoever
right.
that were highly ranked high school guys.
Good point.
That went undrafted or later or whatever, because you can't have one without the other. You know, and I get it. Top 10 picks and number one overall picks overshadow those guys.
Right.
But that does happen.
Well, he didn't really even want to take Reed Sheppard. He definitely
yeah.
didn't start him.
No.
Or Rob Dillingham.
They were the two lowest ranked recruits in his class this year.
I know.
Like,
Rob was nice, though. You could see that straight away.
Yeah. He was a beast.
You could see that in summer workouts and stuff like that. And the reports are coming out. You're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This dude. But, like, John Calipari never bothered starting him.
No.
Never bothered playing that thing. And, you know, that's the other thing is, like, you get these guys like, yes, the league is an objective. It has to be, as a coach, to get your players to the league.
Mm-hmm.
But your first responsibility needs to be to win the tournament.
Win games. Win games. Like, you're paid as a college basketball coach, you're not paid for draft picks.
Yeah.
You're paid to win college basketball games. You're paid to win conference championships, which you denounced. You basically said it was pointless. You're paid to win in March, which you haven't been to the second weekend in six years. You're paid to win championships, which you haven't done since 2012, despite having 40 draft in first round draft picks since then. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that's crazy to think about. You had two guys go in the top 10, including the first American and another guy that went number 8, and you lost to Oakland. Jack Golkey, who's going to be somebody's accountant.
Did he get it drafted? Did Golkey get drafted?
Hell no, Golkey didn't get drafted. But that's what I'm saying. And so that, and then on top of that, the two highest recruits, or the three highest recruits, Justin Edwards, undrafted. DJ Wagner would have been undrafted if he came out.
Now
he's going to you with Arkansas. And there's no guarantee that his stock is going to skyrocket because preseason he was a top 10 pick. Now if he came out, he would have been undrafted. Justin Edwards preseason was a top 3 pick. Some had him projected number 1. He went undrafted. And Aaron Bradshaw had to say, all right, I'm done with that. I got to go to Ohio State to try to recuperate, because if he would have been in this draft, he would have been either late second round or undrafted too. So you get what I'm saying? Like, so you have some work to do even when it comes to the NBA draft, because you just got lucky with Robin Reed. Like, let's be honest, you got lucky with them. Because the three guys that were supposed to be Robin Reed ended up being undrafted and transferring.
Yeah.
And those two guys just kind of saved you being the 4 stars that go in the top 10 of the draft.
Well, you know, and by the way, one of my police officer friends texted in and said, I will never refer to Arkansas as anything other than the Fighting Dino Nuggets ever again. Which I like that. They like your analogy. And I will say this, like Louisville had Samardo Samuels. He was number 1. And he went second round, right?
Yeah,
he went second round. Like, we had VJ King, who's a 5-star player, didn't pan out. Wayne Blackshear, 5-star player, didn't pan out. It happens. Like, it happens.
He wasn't a one and done, but he had a solid college career.
He was a good college
player. Yeah, he had a solid college career.
But I think the thing,
Samuel Williamson was 5-star, too.
He was.
Yeah, but if I'm Rich Paul and I'm sending you players, repeated players, that he feels like you didn't do a good job with, are you going to get more players from Rich Paul? Because, I mean, the clutch thing is really interesting, because, like, on draft night, not this year, but last year, John Calipari forgot about Chris Livingston with the most disingenuous, flat-out lying thing that you could say. I mean, like, throw him in the politician bucket, too. Like, if the man's talking, he's lying. That's just the way it is. And it just acted like, oh, I forgot. No, Rich Paul's pissed at you for the job that you did with Chris Livingston. Now, is Chris Livingston need to take some responsibility for that?
Has to.
Probably. His basketball career.
Yes.
Justin Edwards, same thing. But if you're Rich Paul and you're looking at John Calipari like you're supposed to be this great coach, this is his words.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like he's souring on John Calipari.
What I will say is, though, Rich Paul can't stop Cal from getting players. Like, Cal...
the ones that he can influence.
And I think a lot of the guys, because you got to think, Cal's getting commitments from guys while they're still juniors and seniors in high school, and they're not getting to Rich. One, you're not getting to Rich unless you're a top 10 guy anyway.
Right.
Like, everybody can't
get to Rich. And NIL still factor.
Exactly. And I think Cal, his reputation, because the one thing about Cal, say what you want about him, his players love him. You know, we were talking about Rick and how some of his players would feel about some of his comments and stuff. But, like, Cal's guys love him. Like, there's no denial about that. Like,
they love him, but, like
but and so
do they play with the urgency, though?
No, but what I'm saying is, the NBA guys are always going to vouch for Cal. And they're going to say, like, whether it's true or not.
Yeah, the guys that got there,
you're going to be like, man, Cal's the reason why. Once again, whether it's true or not, because I don't, especially those second contracts, they ain't got nothing to do with Cal. But whether it's true or not, they're going to show Calipari love. Cal's going to show up to their games, their playoff games, their regular season games. Yep. Like, he's going to reciprocate the love, and that's always going to help him recruiting. It's not going to help him win in March, but it's always going to help him with recruiting. So that's why, like, the recruiting thing, I don't think it's – he's never going to get as many players as he did at Arkansas as he did at Kentucky anyway. And so, therefore, it's like the ones that he gets are going to be NBA guys no matter what. So
what's Jeff Lycey have going on this weekend?
So this weekend, even today, is very, very packed. So today we've got, after I leave here, I'm going to go over to New Albany High School. They got the Rondale Moore football camp.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to go check that out.
Who's he with now?
He is with the Atlanta Falcons. He got traded for Desmond Ritter. And this is funny. So,
oh, that's weird.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. St. X Trinity, Louisville connection. There's a lot going on there.
Neither one of those guys played here.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, he got traded for Desmond Ritter, so he's in Atlanta. So I'm gonna go check out the Rondale Moore football camp for a little bit. Then I'm doing the drive with Mark Ennis.
Oh, you're on with Ennis.
Yeah, from 3 to 6.
Are you prepared to talk about the debate?
Enough. I'm prepared enough. I don't think he's gonna touch it as much.
Who
as
do you
guys
think is a better golfer? Yeah. Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
I don't know.
The thing is, Joe, like, if you don't sign your scorecard properly, it's, you know, you can be disqualified if you forget how many strokes you had.
Forget how many strokes you had. I gotta leave all of that alone. So after the end of the show, today is being marked as D'Angelo Russell Day over at Algonquin Park. So
I'm gonna go. Didn't play here.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go check that out. So there's a lot of Louisville stuff going on. So from 5 to 9 at Algonquin Park, they got D'Angelo Russell Day. He gave $100,000.
That's awesome.
To Algonquin Park, and I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but I'm one of those people that love when people. So I know that's the first installment of a few donations he has lined up for the city of Louisville.
That's awesome.
So D'Angelo, so he did Algonquin first, but I think
he's gonna
touch a couple of other parks and make sure they're taken care of as
That's
well. So
cool.
I'm gonna go check
That's
that out.
Cool.
So shout out to D'Lo, shout out to Rondale Moore doing some stuff here in the Kentuckiana area. So
That's
yeah.
the stuff that bothers me, man.
Yeah, man.
When you get guys like that that aren't Louisville Cardinals, and I know why they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I totally understand.
But it does stink.
But bothers me.
Yeah.
You think they'll ever besmirch Louisville like Rick Pitino did?
I highly doubt it. Rondale played for Brom, so he ain't going to say nothing bad about Brom.
That's true.
And that's what I want to ask him about.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Well, that'll be a lot of fun, man. Enjoy your weekend. Next week's a short week.
Yeah.
4th of July weekend. We'll start. When do they start lighting off fireworks? When do we start lighting off?
I heard some last week, so yeah. It's definitely going to start by Monday.
Somebody walking around right now.
Absolutely.
Ready. He's got all 10 fingers, and this is his last weekend. He doesn't even know it. He has no clue. Has no clue. All right. We got Louie and Zachy C. Maven and Rubbage next after this. Everybody have a great weekend.